This morning, one of our leaders and ministers is going to break the bread of life for us, share what God has laid on her heart. Those who are physically able, we ask if you would stand to receive our preacher, Reverend Michelle Leaphart, who will now come in her own way. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Reverend, God bless you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Reverend.
I was glad when they said unto me, let us come into the house of the Lord. For this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God is a good God. He is greatly to be praised. And so I do want to thank Pastor Pickens for the opportunity just to bring a word for the Lord. Because if you're a preacher, you do want to preach.
Say that,
Amen.
Amen.
And so
Amen.
I just thank him for his kindness and for his consideration. He has allowed me to become a better preacher. Amen. Amen. And for that, I give God glory. Our scripture this morning is going to be found in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. Verses 24 through 25. When you say have it, say amen.
Amen.
The book of Hebrews in the New Testament, chapter 10, verses 24 through 25. Amen. And it reads, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil. Yes, 10, 24 and 25. Do I have it right? I'm sorry, starting at 19. I'm starting. 19 through 25. Amen. All right. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Amen. 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 You could be seated. I'm going to use for a sermon topic this morning, don't fall away, hold on.
Amen.
Don't fall away, hold on. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, Lord, we just come in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we come because we love you. We come because we trust you. We come because we need you. And so, Father God, even right now, I'm asking, Father God, that you would just allow your Holy Spirit's body, Lord God, just to hold on, Lord God. Because faithful is he who has called us, who also will do it. So, Lord God, just give me preaching power, Lord God, and ask that the words of my mouth and even the meditations of my heart will be acceptable in your sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen, amen. And hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So the book of Hebrews, I'm going to read some very familiar scriptures that come out of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 4 and 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thought and intents of the heart. Hebrews 11 and 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11 and 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 12:1-2, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Hebrews 12:14, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. And finally, Hebrews 7:25, therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. All those popular scriptures, most of you knew them by heart, come out of the book of Hebrews. And so why would the writer of Hebrews have such scriptures as that? Why those words for this group of Christians that he is speaking to? Why would he use all those scriptures that cause us to think about and give us hope as we're on this journey? And the reason why is because this church was on the verge. They were on the brink of falling away. Yes, Lord. They were on the brink. They were getting discouraged. They were getting despair, because this is many, many years after the apostles. This is a group of Christians that would be similar to us, if you will. They've been waiting for Jesus for a long time. They've been serving in the church for a long time. They've been keeping the faith for a long time, but they were getting weary in well-doing. They were getting weary in their faith, so much so that they wanted to turn back to some of the rituals of the temple. They wanted to go back to the animal sacrifices and some of those other washings that occur. They were struggling with what the writer calls this new and living way, the New Testament. They were struggling with Jesus Christ. They were struggling with keeping the faith. They were struggling with going to church. They were struggling, and they were on the verge of falling away. And so this writer, who is really not known exactly, stood up and wrote this letter of Hebrews to encourage them to keep the faith and to hold on. Amen? Amen. And so that is the backdrop for this scripture that we are looking at this morning in Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 25. And it was just such a blessing to me to know that God knows that we will get weary sometime. If you've been on this journey for any period of time at all, especially a long time, you have to be honest that every now and then church wasn't where you wanted to be. Amen. Every now and then you got weary of getting up. That's where they got the term bedside Baptist from, because people were getting weary of getting up and getting dressed and going to church. And so they figured they can have church at home. They figured that they could just stay at home and read their scriptures. And there was something about going to church that they just didn't want to do anymore. And sometimes people really don't want to come, because sometimes people have been hurt. There is such a thing as church hurt. Amen. Where people in the church say things and do things that kind of get you down and discouraged and make you not really want to come. And so you begin to fade away. And sometimes people aren't getting what they need. They come and they're looking for a certain something, but they just can't find it. And so they don't come, and they kind of fade away. Oh, we know for ourselves that we have seen people come through this sanctuary. People come through here excited, and then all of a sudden we don't see them anymore, and they kind of fade away. And the writer of Hebrews in this passage this morning is aware of that. And there's something good about being real. There's something good about being true. There's something good about talking about the issue, whatever the issue is, because people need to be encouraged. People need direction. People need to know how to handle situations that arise, because if we don't address it, people are going to fall away and not want to come to church. And let me be clear, that does not mean they have fallen away from the faith. They might still believe in Jesus, but I'm not coming to that church. I still believe in Jesus, but I don't think I'm going to get up and go today. And so the writer of Hebrews, once again, very much aware of the situation and wanted to encourage these Christians who were barely hanging on. You know anybody barely hanging on? They should be here right now, but they just barely hanging on. They're at home wishing things would get better. But what I like about this passage is that he tells us what we need to do to keep the faith. He tells us what we need to do so we don't fall away. He tells us what we need to do so that we can hold on. And he starts off in verse 19. He says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Oh, we could start right there, because the boldness that Jesus gives us is the boldness to enter into the presence of a holy God. Oh, they needed to be reminded who Jesus was. Somewhere along the line, they had kind of diminished the power of the sacrifice that Jesus had given us. When Jesus died on Calvary, the veil was rent. And when it was rent, it gave us access to the Father, something that we did not have before. Access to him. We didn't have to go through the priest. We didn't have to do the animal sacrifices. We didn't have to do the sacrificial cleaning, because the Holy Spirit came and he did all that for us. And so because he's done all that for us, we can go boldly into the throne of grace, obtain mercy and grace in our time of need. And so they are struggling with that. But he says, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Oh, somebody shout, the blood still works. The blood still works. The blood still works by a new and living way, which he consecrated us through the veil that is his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, it says, let us draw near. That's the first thing we need to do so we don't have to fall away. We need to learn how to draw near. What does it mean to draw near? It means to get close. We know that our relationship with Jesus Christ is first and foremost personal. And it's personal because each and every one of us is going to get as close as we want to be. Some people look at some people and they stand in awe and say, oh, I wish I could be like that Christian. And the good news is you can. You can be just like them. You could be filled with the Holy Ghost. You can know the scriptures. You could walk it by faith. You could do the miracles that Jesus said we could do. You can do it all, but you got to draw near. James said to draw near, nigh unto God. And what would God do? He would draw nigh unto you. And the easiest way to think about drawing near is to think about somebody that you love, say your spouse, or somebody that you're hoping to be your spouse. You want to be as close to that person as you possibly can. And so just think about the things that you do to draw near to your loved one, to draw near to your spouse. You spend time with them. You think about them. You buy them gifts. You do different things for them. You give them compliments. You acknowledge them. You respect them. And all those things that you do to draw near to a human are the same things that you do to draw near to our Heavenly Father. You love on him. You seek him. You think about him. You talk about him. You worship him. You pray to him. And all of those things will help you draw near to God. And the thing about drawing near to God, when we draw near to God, our faith increases. Hallelujah. Yes, it does. When we draw near to God, when we take the time to get to know him, even as he knows us, when we draw near to him, then we are not going to find ourselves in the position of falling away, because he's going to give us strength. He is going to give us courage. He is going to give us boldness. And so when we draw near to God, and it has to be intentional, he's already there waiting for us. He has done his part, but now he needs us to press in. He needs us to move in. He needs us to get close. He needs us to draw near, because when we draw near, then we have the power of the Holy Spirit. When we draw near, then we have the comfort of the Holy Spirit. When we draw near, then we have the joy of the Holy Spirit. But we have to draw near to him with a true heart, clean heart, and sincerity. Hallelujah. And full assurance of our faith. We have to believe. Yes, just like he said earlier, without faith, it's impossible to believe. We have to believe that God is who he says he is, and that he can do exactly what he says he can do. When we press in, we need to know who we're pressing into. When we're drawing near, we need to believe that he is God Almighty, that all power in heaven and earth is in his hands. When we draw near, we have to give him the glory due his name. We have to honor him. We have to worship him. We have to bow down to him. And when we do that, we'll find ourselves close to the living God. We serve a living God. Our God is not dead. He is alive. And it's a new and a living way. It's a new way to worship God. It is a new way to have fellowship with God. It's a new way to be in relationship with God. And we have to do our part. And so if we're not going to fall away and hold on, then we need to learn how to draw near. And then in verse 23, it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Oh, we can't be double-minded about this thing. That's where these Christians were. They were kind of double-minded, thinking about the new, but also thinking about the old. Well, you can't think about both all at the same time, because what is old is old. The Bible says, "In anybody be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, because all things have become new." And either you're going to move with the newness of the Holy Spirit, or you're going to stay stuck in the tradition of the church. And we need to move with the Holy Spirit. We need to move forth and do what he's doing in 2025. We need to move forward and let go of some of the things that have hindered us in the past, and allow him to do a new thing in us, a new thing in the church. And we have to hold fast the confession of our hope. What is the confession of our hope? That Jesus Christ is the Messiah. That Jesus Christ died on for our sins. That Jesus Christ was buried in the tomb. That Jesus Christ rose on the third day. That Jesus Christ ascended into the heaven. That Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for me and interceding for you. That is the hope of our confession, that Jesus Christ is coming back one day. And that day is coming about real soon. And so that is the confession of our hope. We have hope because we believe the Jesus story. We have hope because we believe the complete report. We don't doubt any of it. We believe it, and we believe it with our whole heart. And because of that, we have hope. Because of that, we have hope. Because he who promised is faithful. We serve a God who cannot lie. Everything that God said in his word is true. Whether you believe it or not, it is still true, because it's not based on your belief. It's based on him. And he is the author of the truth. And so everything that he writes, everything that he promises, it is true. And we can stand on it. We can bank on it. We can count on it, because Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Faithful is he who promised. So we need to draw near. We need to hold fast the confession. And then 24 says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Yes. Pastor just gave a testimony that was stirring up love. Anytime we do anything for anybody in the church, that's to stir up their love. Because when people know that they loved and are loved in the church, guess what? They'll be here. When they know that they are loved, when they feel the love, when we encourage them to love, then they will be here. Because all of us need what? All of us need love. And we know that God loves us, but he has also placed us in a community of believers who are supposed to love us too. Jesus said, by this all men shall know that you are my disciples, that you have love one to another. There's no other way for people to know that we belong to Christ without the love. And so the writer says, stir up. Stir up the love and the good works. Stir it up Stir it up. Stir it up. Well, how do you stir it up? Well, I'm not going to stand here and say I know. But I know that if you pray, the Holy Spirit knows. He will show you how to stir up the love in the church. He will show you what needs to be done to move people forward into one, into unity in Christ. He will show us what we need to do to build up the church and to give people hope and allow people to do good service and to do good works. The Holy Spirit will show us what needs to be done in order to stir up love and good works. There was a song out a couple years ago. It was called I Need You to Survive. I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's body. Stand with me. Agree with me. We're all a part of God's body. It is His will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive. That's the song of the church. We're all important to each other. We need each other to survive. And then it says, I won't harm you with words from my mouth. I love you. I need you to survive. And so somewhere in this congregation that this of this church that the Hebrew writers is speaking to, the love had waned. The love had decreased. The love was on the verge because if the love was strong, they would not find themselves falling away. When the love is strong, you'll hold on. When the love is strong, you'll be encouraged. When the love is strong, you will care. You will be concerned. You will help. You will serve. People will not have to beg you. You will do your part. Because the love is strong, not only towards you, but in you, loving others as God has loved you. And it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. And so some people had stopped coming. They were so discouraged, they stopped coming. This Jesus ain't never coming back. I'm going to stop coming. Been waiting a long time. I'm going to stop coming. They do the same thing Sunday after Sunday. I'm going to stop coming. But it says, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Because there's something powerful about us coming together. There's something powerful about us joining together in worship. There's something powerful about a whole congregation lifting up their hands and saying hallelujah. Oh, there's something powerful about the singing the songs of Zion all together collectively. Oh, there's something powerful about hearing the testimonies of the church. There's something about coming together as a church congregation that you can't get at home sitting on your bedside. You cannot get at home watching on your TV. But when you come together, the Holy Spirit has an opportunity to flow from heart to heart and from breast to breast. He has an opportunity to bring healing into our presence. He has an opportunity to bring hope into our presence. He has an opportunity to bring rejoicing into our presence. And so coming together as one body in Christ is needful. It's necessary. We cannot live this Christian life all by ourselves. We need to worship together in unity. We need to worship together in collectiveness. We need to worship together on one accord so that the Holy Spirit can fill this house, so that the Holy Spirit can do what He has come to do, so that He can convict people of their sins, so He can allow them to come into righteousness, so people might be saved. And so we can't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We need to be in the house of the Lord. We should be running to the house of the Lord, because in the house of the Lord, there is joy. In the house of the Lord, there is peace. In the house of the Lord, there is love. In the house of the Lord, there is redemption. There is restoration. There is refreshing. There is revival. And it's all in the house of the Lord. And so we cannot forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But instead, we should be exhorting one another to be here. Exhorting one another to come in. To be a part of the fellowship. To be a part of the spiritual growth. To be a part of the worship experience. We should be inviting people, dragging people, begging people, imploring people. Come into the house of the living God. Come into the house. Because when people see vibrant worship, they know that God is alive and he is not dead. When they see vibrant worship, they know that there is something different going on with these people. When they see vibrant worship, they know that our Redeemer still lives. And it is our job to glorify the Father up in this place. It is our job to glorify him so that he will show up and show out. It is our job to glorify him so when people walk in that they know that Jesus is real. They know that Jesus is alive. It's our job to represent him. Our job to lift him up. Our job to make him real in the life of a believer. Our job to grow other people. It is our job to glorify and magnify the risen Savior. It is our job. God gave me this analogy. He said, if you've ever been invited to a party, say you've been invited to a party, and you accept the invitation. And then you drive to the house and you pull up and you see that people's cars are parked there. People have already gone into the party. You look behind you and people are still coming. And you park your car. And you can hear the music on the inside. You can see the people going in and out. You can see people having conversation. But you never get out of your car. You just stay in your car. But if people ask you, you say, I went to the party. You did go to the party, but you never went in. And that's what people do at church. They come to church, but they never get involved. They come to church, but they never join in. They come to church, and they never worship. They come to church, and they never sing. They come to church, and they never pray. It's like sitting at a party that you were invited to and never getting out the car and going in. It's more than just showing up. We need to show out. Amen. We need to show out for Jesus. And when we show up and show out for Jesus, then people won't be falling away. They'll have something that they can hold on to. They will have the word of God dwelling in them. They will be able to sing and they will be able to rejoice and they will be able to have hope. They can hear the prayers of the people and the prayers of the people give them encouragement and hope. And so the church has an awesome, awesome responsibility to be the church of the living God so that when people come in here, they will get what they are looking for. When people come in here, they will get saved. When people come in here, they will get help. When people come in here, they will get hope. It is our responsibility as believers to show up and show out for God so the world may know that our Redeemer still lives. Hallelujah. Don't fall away. Just hold on. Draw near. Stir up each other to love. And don't forget to show up in this place. Hallelujah. And God bless you.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huff Smith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."